Hey, you awesome folks. Thanks for taking this journey of discovery with your guide, Keith Haney. You're listening to the Becoming Bridge Builders podcast, your favorite podcast for everything from racial reconciliation to education innovation, justice reform, and leading change in the 21st century. This podcast is for people who love to be challenged with difficult topics, but want practical solutions to solve these challenging issues. Becoming Bridge Builders makes change possible. Each week on the podcast, Keith invites innovative thought leaders to share how they are building bridges in their area of expertise. You will hear breakthrough ideas and concepts that are changing the world. He's featuring guests who are best-selling authors, leaders at Microsoft, entrepreneurs, leading educators, professors, lawyers, and so many more. Listen in to learn how you can be the bridge to the change you are seeking.
My guest today is Jordan Roche. Jordan is a podcaster and Christian life coach. Started with health coaching, but was on the side of New Age spirituality. Searching for more and hungry for the humans who had followed God, and further away from Him and from their actions. We welcome Jordan to the podcast. Well, it's so good to have you on the show today, Jordan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm so happy to be here.
Good to be here. It's good to have a conversation with you.
Yes, definitely.
Well, let's get a chance to get to know you a little better and the audience as well. So what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Best piece of advice I've ever received was actually probably this week. Oh. So it's funny, but I was like, this is perfect timing. But So I was just like, kind of wondering where God wants me to go next. And a friend of mine was like, well, if you had a year left to live, what would you do? You know, because for so long, I've just felt tied to other people. And like, as a people pleaser, I do what other people need me to do and kind of fulfill a position for them, because I feel like they need me to be in that position. And I was like, but what is God telling me to do? Where does God need me right now? And so that was really a great piece of advice.
That is good. I like that. So what'd you come up with?
Yeah. I think I'm going to be changing a lot of things in the near future. I just was praying about it last night, and I had this dream that kind of confirmed it. So I need to talk to some people and see if it aligns with everything. So big changes might be coming soon.
Exciting stuff there. I like that.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, when God tells you to do something, He does kind of throw off your plans that you had going before He talked to you. So, yeah.
Yep, He sure does.
I'm always curious, Jordan, who are some people in your life who have been maybe an inspiration to you, or just someone that's been impactful, someone you want to give, people want to give a shout out to, thank you for their impact in your life?
So definitely, like growing up, I would say my grandmother, she was kind of the most godly example of a woman, you know, and very elegant and modest and just so kind. Like, she always brought joy to so many people. And so she's definitely a big part of like my journey and who I am. But more recently, I would say my friend Diane, who actually just gave me that advice. she is so amazing and has really been a huge part of like my spiritual growth, and just knowing that there's so much more than we even know about God and who he is, you know. And there's just so many, like, the church is only so much, and then there's just like a whole nother world, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's neat how the people who come alongside you just the right time in your life to kind of even give you words that maybe you weren't expecting, but they're so impactful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So tell us about your personal journey. I'm curious kind of where you've been and where you headed, and as you tell us kind of where you come from. Yeah.
Definitely. So I grew up in a Christian home, but it was lukewarm, and I really fell away from the church because of people in my life, and got into New Age spirituality and had a lot of health problems that kind of drove me further into that. But because of the false sense of security there, I really felt like, you know, helping, right? Like, that's why a lot of people stay in it and get into that loop. And so I actually had 7 herniated discs in my back, and among a lot of other health issues going on. And I was starting to question authority at that point, because I was going to medications and listening to the people in my life who had authority.
Sure.
Like I normally would. Yeah. And everything was getting worse. And I was like, wait a minute. So then I started questioning, like, obviously doctors and with the medications and solutions with all of that. But then it kind of continued. And luckily, you know, I started questioning the people who said they were Christian in my life.
Sure.
Because, like, they would say one thing and be kind of hypocritical and not live what they're telling me to do. And so, you know, that led to the rebellion.
Right.
And which I think a lot of people experience, which is unfortunate. But yeah, so with the coaching, I was in the health coaching on the New Age side of things with, like, yoga and meditation. And, you know, now I'm still in the nutrition and all of that. But I really focus on prayer and the power of that, and the deepness and power that God has that, like I said, isn't really talked about as much in church.
Right. As you think about that journey you were on, and you said, you know, people who were Christian, they weren't living the lifestyle that they were professing.
Mm-hmm.
What did God teach you as you were going through those, maybe that personal faith struggle, I would call it, or wrestling to kind of say what's true and what's not? How'd you unpack and get back to what really was true?
So I was, like, seeking him. Cause I always kind of felt like I had a relationship with him, even though it was the demons in my life at the time. And I just knew that because I had been raised in the church, like, I knew that God existed and I knew that he loved me and I wanted that relationship. I sought that relationship, but I wasn't doing it right. And I started to read my Bible. And the first time that I tried reading my Bible, I got to, in Genesis, God created every green herb. And I was like, cool, he's okay with me smoking weed. And so, and I kind of went back into the world. but then he pulled me back, and I actually was listening to a podcast called Heaven and Healing that just exposed so much deception, and I related so much to everything she was saying. And I was just like, I'm mind blown, and started reading my Bible. And I was actually on a road trip where I really do feel like Satan was going to kill me. Like, I was rebellious, and I said every red flag. I was like, I can do it, it's fine. It was like so much pride. I did not have the finances, but I was like, oh, manifestation, it'll come when I need it, you know. And then my car was an older car, had not gotten new tires or brakes in a long time. And the road trip that I was taking, like, wasn't planned. I didn't really have any places I was staying fully booked or anything. And even along the trip, my GPS was saying, like, where I was headed into the desert.
Oh, no.
Said, said heat advisory, and like people were dropping dead. Like, it, so it was not a good environment that I was going towards. And I thankfully end up at a church with my mom's friend in Texas, literally in the center of the United States. I was 17 hours from where I was and 17 hours from where I was going. And I had this, that was at this service, and they kind of were talking about, you know, like so many things that related to what was going on. And, but also like a leap of faith. And I was like, is my leap of faith that I need to keep going? You know? And so it was like so much deception. I can't, but then I actually did continue into San Antonio, where that's where God was like. And so I was going to be going to this park to go eat my lunch that I had prepped for myself. And I pull up, and my GPS tells me to turn into this church parking lot.
That's weird.
Yeah. Well, because the park was like the next turn.
Oh, okay.
But so it like told me to turn. Then I was like, is there a connection? Like, is the park connected to the church? How does this? And so I turned out of the parking lot and back in to where I was going to be going. But it looked really sketchy. There was no one there. It was like this dirt road. And I was like, I'm going to go eat in the church parking lot instead. And there was this like prayer garden there. And at first I was kind of parked a little bit below where it was up on a hill. And I just hear, come walk with me in the garden, my child. And I was like, but let me finish this podcast first. Right. And I heard it again, and I was like, okay. And so I grabbed my Bible and my journal, and I left my phone. I just was like, okay. I walked up into the garden, and the walkway on the garden, which I couldn't see before, was a cross. Mm. And so I was standing on the cross. Yeah. And I just felt this overwhelming peace and presence. And I was like, okay, what do I do now? You know, like, what, why am I here? What do you need to tell me? And so I went, there was this swing. I sat down next to this chair. So it was like, I was sitting with him, and I didn't know much about the Bible. I didn't know where I should read. And I just was like, God, wherever these pages turn, I'm going to read. And so the wind blew and opened up, and it was in, I believe, First Kings and Jeremiah. But the area that I was reading was about Elijah fleeing to cities of refuge.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I literally read, turn back from where you came.
Wow.
And yeah. And I was like, but I have this thing that I need to go to that I've already committed to. Like, I'm still in my mind, like, in the world so much. And so I was like, I actually stayed in a parking lot that night of a gas station. And then I reread the verses that morning. And I was like, I need to turn around, you know? And I ended up having my tire blow out on the way home.
Oh, no.
And I would have been in the middle of the desert during a heat advisory.
Not a good place to be.
No. So he saved me literally from dying in the desert, but also just my soul. And like that podcast I was listening to the whole time was just like so eye-opening. And just my dad even said when I got back, it was like a 180. I was a totally different person.
That's an incredible story, how God intervened in that moment in your life. As you think about the journey you were on, I think so many people who have drifted away from the church find themselves on a different path. What would you say kind of, besides the fact that you were getting bad advice from people who were Christians, are there other things that were kind of also leading you away from the church and from God at that point in time in your life?
Definitely like the people who were, you know, do as I say, not as I do, and like not living as an example. But I think also just society as a whole, like, was promoting all of these things that are demonic and not of God. And so, you know, as a young woman, you just want to fit in. And especially with social media now, it's like, oh, it's trendy to be a witch, or it's trendy to do your horoscopes and all this stuff. And like, it's just, it's so like backwards, you know? And so I think a lot of just the guidance in my life at that time, like my friends who were, I felt more mature or like knew more, were doing all those things. And I was like, oh, well, like their lives seem pretty good. Like, let's check this out, you know? And so it's just like a snowball effect of deception.
If the church could have done something to be more helpful for you, what would that have been?
I think definitely speaking more of the truth. And I was just talking about this with a friend the other day, but like the truth about the deception, instead of like having more people into the church, obviously we want that, but we need to speak the truth versus just, oh, Jesus loves you no matter what you do. You know, like, and he does, like, but we got to tell him, like, repent and turn from your sins versus continue living in them.
But I think the church sometimes worries that that message you just said will turn people off. And you're saying, no, that's what you need to hear more of, not the watered down, hey, do the easy thing. It's okay to live your life, you know, enjoy life. It'll be okay. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think for me, like where I was, I would have definitely felt convicted. And I think that's why people wouldn't immediately be like, oh, this isn't accepting, you're judging me. But I think there's a balance between judging someone for those sins and being like, I was in your position. I've been there. This is why. Like this, I want you to feel what I feel and get off the drugs and get off the alcohol and the sex and whatever it is, you know, and just like the truth in love. And I think that a lot of people are so focused on judging and shamefully saying the truth rather than that truth in love. And there's definitely a balance there.
I love that. As you think about kind of your generation, you know, the church has a perception of young people. What would you say the biggest misconception the church has about your generation?
Honestly, I feel like the biggest misconception would be the fact that they are not seeking God, because I think they are so much. And that's why they're getting into all of these things, because, you know, in New Age spirituality and at, for me, music festivals and all of these things, like, I felt so seen and loved and more so than I had at the church, like, because it felt more judged at the church. And it's just a bunch of broken people trying to show each other love and compassion that weren't shown by the church and their families. And like, it's so sad. And now at the church that I'm at, they actually are transparent. The elders that I know now tell me about their addictions and about their past and are free and living in that freedom versus, you know, a generation that is just like still feeling their own shame and then judging you for doing the same thing.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
And now a word from one of our sponsors, For Freedom Mobile. If you're using AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, then you're being tracked. Mobile providers collect your location, communications, internet activity, even your financial transaction. They sell that data to anyone willing to pay for it and provide it to the government without a warrant. Switch to For Freedom Mobile, and you won't ever have to worry about big tech or Big Brother tracking you through your mobile phone again. For Freedom Mobile provides secure, unlimited talk, text, and high-speed data for just $29.99 a month, and it includes free internet roaming in over 200 countries. Sign up for the service by visiting forfreedommobile.com and using the promo code BRIDGEBUILDERS to get your first month for only $9.99. See forfreedommobile.com for details, just like the number 4, freedommobile.com. Like, so having the, so not being transparent about the fact that you also had struggles as a young person, you yeah. felt like having a connection with real people, with real lives, with real problems is the most helpful thing the church could do. Not hide and mask their problems, but say, exactly. Yeah, I get what you're going through. Even though you may not directly understand, because we didn't have, I mean, I'm almost 60. We didn't have social media as you guys did, where every single mistake we've ever made is amplified and around the world in a matter of minutes. It took a lot longer for your mistakes to get out there.
So true. And I think that's such a huge part of it too, because it's like, okay, you're forgiven and you no longer need to carry that shame, but you posted it or someone else has this picture of you or this video of you. So yeah, it's definitely more difficult with that.
I love that. So tell us about the church you're at now, because I'm curious. You say you love the church you're at now because it is welcoming. Are there other aspects about your church that if you could tell the church, this is a model of why I like this church, it may be helpful for those who are listening.
Yeah. So I felt more welcome than I've ever felt at any church the moment I walked in. And like the greeters are so amazing. And I actually was late the first time and I like went by myself to the pew, and a woman from the greeters team saw me, and you know, they really focus on, if we haven't seen this person before, we need to talk to them and keep them here, basically. And so she like came up and was like, is this your first time here? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, welcome, I'm so happy you're here, and like gave me a hug. She gave me like a little welcome bag. And that same day, the pastor was preaching about deception and the truth and things that I literally was like, whoa. Like the book called Conversations with God, he was talking about that. And I had recently like read that and thought, you know, oh, this is like cool. Like, great. God loves us. We can do whatever we want. And so it was just so, like, perfect timing and, like, so filled with the Holy Spirit. Like, you, the presence of the Lord was just in that room, and the music, like, the worship too was so powerful. Like, the moment I walked in, people were, like, worshiping God and, like, really into it, and you just feel that. So I think worship is a huge part of praise, and especially in a world where the enemy has taken over the music industry, really, and we're worshiping false idols. So why can't we worship God in the same way that we worship them?
Exactly true. I wonder, you know, we often talk about how important music style is. Is it the style, or is it the fact that people were letting their love for God show through in the worship? I'm always curious, is it a both and, or is it a particular style? To me, it's like, if no matter what style you're doing, if people know that you are celebrating and worshiping God, whether it's traditional hymns or praise music, it's more about I can sense the people there really want to be there versus not seeming as though they're happy to be there. Is that something that you notice as well?
Definitely. Yeah. And cause I like there's now that I've, you know, looked, cause I loved music my whole life. And so looking now for more genres of Christian music is so helpful, because I think, you know, we kind of, like, I, for my whole life was like, I hate rap music. It's so, like, vulgar. Even before I was saved, like, it just was raunchy. And I was like, I don't want that. Like, it's, I don't want it. And now there's a few, like, Christian rap songs that are glorifying God. And I'm like, yes. Like, and so I think, like, it's just based on your personal preference with, like, the genre, but as long as it's glorifying God and you can tell that it's moving your spirit, like, I think that's so powerful. And just like you said, with the people at the church during the service are clearly loving on God. You know, and you can feel it.
That's awesome. I'm curious, what are you excited about as you think about where you are now compared to where you are now before? What are you most excited about in this phase of your life?
Most excited is honestly, like, just to see where God takes me. Like I said in the beginning, I have kind of been avoiding what he did want because I was afraid of it. And, like, because so my whole life, since I was a people pleaser, I was really scared to be vulnerable and say what I actually wanted and what was in my heart. And so doing that is scary for me. And I think for a lot of people. So I am excited to follow that what God put in my heart for a reason, and see where he takes me, and just take a leap of faith.
Amazing. If you had a message for people who were where you were before, wandering, trying to kind of connect back with God again, what message do you have for those who are still kind of like, I know God wants something different for me than my life is now. What advice would you have for them?
My advice would probably be just seek God first above all else. Like, don't, because you can surround yourself with Christians. You can surround yourself with people who say they know God, but that doesn't make you know God. And I think a lot of people do that and focus on, oh, I need to be at church every day. I need to go serve. I need to go to this small group. And those are amazing, but you need to know God yourself. Because we all have our own individual relationship with him and purpose from him. And no one else can tell you that except for God. And also just, like, be sober and vigilant, like, sober minded. I for so long was so not sober, and I was lost in that time of my life. And I think it's so important, in order to have that relationship with God, to have a sober mind. Otherwise, it's just, like, wishy-washy in there and anxious.
Most definitely. If you could describe for the church, you were kind of going, what kind of community are people like yourself looking for? What are a couple things that are really important for that community to have to make someone who is coming back to church feel welcomed again?
Yeah, I think, again, with the transparency, so that you don't feel judged or intimidated, but also one thing that recently God like put in my heart to do at my church was to get young women together, because we have a young adults group and we have a youth group. But I think it's so important to have like your gender together without the other one, so that you can really understand what you're all going through. Because, you know, even though you're around your peers, if they're different genders, you're going to have that, you know, hold back in your mind to be fully vulnerable. And I think it's so powerful to have strong relationships with, as women, with the other women in your life and who are Christian, and talk about those things that you can't talk about with guys. And on the other side, same thing there, you know, it's so important to build that, those relationships versus just seeking a partner, you know?
Right. When you mentioned partner, it's interesting. I noticed that younger people, especially with the things that the world are kind of teaching and kind of instilling in them, that the whole relationship thing has been kind of thrown upside down for young people. Like, guys are having a hard time finding girls who are conservative, who are in terms of their beliefs and want a spouse and want to connect with someone of a Christian background. Have you noticed that's a big problem with your generation too, that there just seems to be a real lack of, how do you find the right kind of spouse, the right kind of mate? Because society has messed that up so badly.
Definitely. I struggled with that myself. And for so many years, I was like, I don't want kids. I don't want to deal with them, you know, all this. Now, all I want to do is be married and have kids. but I think so many people in my generation also don't want to have kids. And, but they do want to have sex. And I think, yeah. And I think society, especially with social media, has really corrupted the order of a relationship and how it should go. And, you know, that we replace love with lust. And people don't even know what a deep, intimate relationship is. They don't actually know what love is. And I think that's why so many people in the younger generation need Jesus, because that's the only way to fully understand love, because he is love, you know? And it's like, for me, because for me, I always saw it like love in other people, and to be, I always just wanted to be loved and to love someone else. And all I really needed was Jesus.
Right. I think you made a really interesting point there. I think because we have gotten away from God being what love is, love has now been defined by movies, by TV, by music, by social media, and none of those things were lasting, and mm-hmm. those things are just empty. But if we get back to that connection with God being the source of love, and that love flows from him, I think we better connect with each other.
Oh, yeah. My relationships, like even just friendships and everything, like have gotten so much better and deeper since following God, because I am able to be transparent. I don't need to feel shame. I can talk about things I would never have talked about, you know?
Yeah. This has been great, Jordan. Anything I haven't asked you that I should have asked you?
I don't think so. There, one thing that I did want to mention, again, with, you know, the sex and love and how we are so deceived right now, is towards the end of my new age-ness and getting saved, I was so confused because of brokenness and people telling me this and that and my trauma, that I literally had come out as pansexual. I'm like, well, I love everyone, right? Like, which I think anyone who thinks they're pansexual just needs Jesus, because they do love everyone. They just don't need to have sex with everyone. You know? And that's where I was. I was like, well, what's the point if I know I ultimately want to be with a man? Like, I don't understand. I was so confused. And like, I thank God every day, because I thought I was going crazy. I was like going to be ruining a multiple friendships. It was just like so toxic.
Right. No, that's very insightful. I hadn't thought about that part of it, but I'm glad you mentioned that, because a lot of people do seem very confused about their identity, because their identity is not through God, it's through something else. And if your identity is through your sexuality or your sexual preference, I think you kind of missed the creation of who you really are through God.
Exactly. And when you're a people pleaser and you're just trying to be something for everyone else, and then sex gets involved, you will say, oh, I'm this because I just need that love. I just want to be loved. And so if you love me, I'll be this for you. You know, and so, yeah, it's so much.
Very insightful. So, Jordan, I always like to ask my guests this question. What do you want your legacy to be?
I definitely want to just share the truth. I think my legacy is just sharing my story and so many parts of it. Like God, one of the things I had been avoiding, and that God was like, you should do this, I need you to do this, was public speaking and sharing my story, because I have so many things that I actually was telling a friend from church, and she's like, your life sounds like a movie. And I was like, I didn't realize like that so much had happened, but now that you're saying that, I do have a lot I could tell people about. So so definitely just sharing everything God has done in my life, and to be able to touch other people and make heaven crowded.
That's great. Sounds like you have a book right there, right? You should be writing a book right now.
I actually am.
That's great. See? Great minds think alike.
Yes. Amen.
Well, Jordan, thanks so much for being on the podcast. Where can people find you on social media and connect with you?
Yes, thank you so much for inviting me. And so you can find me on Instagram at Jordan, J-O-R-D-A-N, underscore Roche, R-O-C-H-E. And on Facebook too, Jordan Roche. And then I'm also on TikTok. And that's Jordy, J-O-R-D-E-E underscore R-E-E-D. But my website also has like a lot of them. So if you go to bekindtofutureyou.com, you can find a lot of free resources and the links to all of my social media.
Well, Jordan, thanks so much. And I'm so glad that we had this opportunity to kind of share with how God's been blessing you and the journey God's taking you on, and blessings on that book you're writing. And may it inspire other people to start that journey as well, those who have drifted away.
Yes, thank you so much. It's been such a blessing to share with you and hopefully touch a lot of lives.
Me, I hope so.
Yes.
Thanks for listening to Becoming Bridge Builder. If you enjoyed this episode and want to help support the podcast, please subscribe and share it with others. Post about it on social media or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram at @BKeithHaney and on Getter and Twitter at @RevHedpin or on his website at alightbreakthrough.org. Thanks again, and tune in next time.